following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good morning, Refuge. How are you doing this morning? I trust everything is going well, and if it's not, well, you're in the right place. This is where you want to be when things are not going well. In fact, that worship time this morning, I just felt like, and Jesse and I do talk throughout the week, but there's times when he comes up with songs that are so perfect for the message, and I trust the Lord has something to do with that, that the words that we sang are so important and so much where we're going this morning in the Word. And so let me pray, and then I want to tie in just one line from one of the songs that we sang in with the message this morning. So let's pray. God, we come before you, and we're so grateful that you're a God who speaks to us, who directs our hearts, who forms us and shapes us more and more into your image. Lord, as we come and we just put ourselves out before you, we surrender all things to you. Lord, you shape us by the word, by your word, Lord, and by your spirit, Lord, poured out upon us. And I've been praying this all morning and out throughout this weekend, Lord, that you just pour your spirit out on your people this morning, Lord, that you do a good work in this place. And Lord, that is dependent upon you, and I'm so thankful for that, Lord, that you go above and beyond our expectations of what we have planned for this morning, Lord, and you work beyond those things. And this has already been evident to me in these first services, Lord, prior to this one, that you're working. And so, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you. We praise your name for that. And so, Lord, would you direct our hearts even now? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the line that I wanted to bring out to you that I felt like, man, and it wasn't even in my notes throughout this week, but last night as we sang the song in the Saturday night service, it just like jumped off the page to me. And it's this: I am who you say that I am. I am who you say that I am. And in this world, there are a lot of people who call us lots of different things, lots of different names, a lot of negative stuff out there, right? And maybe you have coworkers who've described you as something, or maybe you have parents who once described you as something. But we have this amazing reality that we get to say, Lord, I am who you say that I am. Even if other people say I'm something different, I am who you say, Lord, that I am, forgiven, set free, a child of God. Lord, I am those things. First and foremost, beyond what other people say that I am, Lord, I am who you say that I am. Listen to this. Even beyond sometimes what names I call myself, right? Or what shortcomings I think that I have. I could never be that, or I'll never reach that goal, or ever, never. Lord, those things aren't as important as what you say that I am or who you say that I am. And so this morning, as we talk about this, I want you to just to hold tightly onto that reality. And in fact, this morning, we're going to close our service with that song, Champion, again. And my hope is that when you sing it a second time, it'll have a little bit more sense to where we've been this morning. That when you say those words, I am who you say that I am, they'll have some power in your life because of who Jesus is in your life. Well, who does he say we are? One of those things he says that we are, and we learned this last week, is that we are light bearers. Do you remember the light from last week? Right? We are light bearers. The scripture last week is light has come into the world, and we're not supposed to hide light away. It didn't come to be hidden. In fact, Jesus, who is, by the way, the light of the world, comes to reveal truth and who he truly is. And in fact, he says, listen, don't hide. You remember the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, we sang it last week. We don't need to sing it again this week, right? That's all you get right there. Well, you get a little bit more. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it, right? You know that. Some of you who didn't grow up in church are like, these people are crazy, like legit crazy. Like, what is that, right? So we're not supposed to hide the light under a bushel. In fact, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I've come to shine my light into the darkness. And in fact, those that call upon me, who walk with me, one of those things that I say that you are, I am who you say I am, Lord, is you then are what? Lights of the world. That, in fact, one of the things you're called to be is a light bearer. Matthew 5:14 says, Jesus talking to his disciples, I believe would talk to us this morning, and say this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket." But where? On a lampstand. And last week we talked about taking that light and elevating it in our lives. Where does Jesus stand in our lives? Is he high and lifted up like the lampstand and the light rays shining throughout all of our lives? And it gives light to all who are in the house. So then he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The reason why you and I are called to be light bearers is so that other people will glorify our Father in heaven. Other people will see who you are, will see your light and say, "Wow, they're different. Why are they so different?" And they will ultimately come to glorify our Father in heaven. That's ultimately why we are light bearers. Well, this morning, the analogy is going to switch a bit. Instead of being light bearers this morning, we're going to talk about being seed bearers. That you are a bearer of seed. You're a farmer, basically, essentially. This morning, y'all are going to be farmers, all right? So get your overalls on and your hat. You're right, okay, well, maybe not. Farmers this morning. That's the picture and the analogy. In fact, Jesus is going to tell two parables where he's going to talk about a seed and your and my responsibility and interaction with that seed. So if you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Some of you are saying, "I can't believe we're still in Mark chapter 4. Thought we'd have gone on by now." And I will just tell you, we have one more week next weekend in Mark chapter 4. It's a rich chapter. But for this week, we're going to be in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And here's what Jesus said. "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He, the farmer, himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts it in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now, that's parable number one, and we're talking about the seed. That's parable number one. And in parable number one, I just want to give you five observations this morning. Five observations. So if you're a note taker, you could write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and get ready for those five observations. If you're not a note taker, you can just use your hand and just be like, "Okay, he's on 1, he's on 2, 3. Oh, we're getting near the end. It's 4 and 5. And in the second parable, again about a seed, we'll give a couple more observations. Here we go. Observation number one about this parable that Jesus talks about the seed being planted is observation number one: let's throw lots of seed. Now, we've talked about what the seed is. The seed is the gospel. It's the word of God going out from the people of God, right? So the seed is being planted. Now, some of us, we're seed planters, but we kind of just plant little bags of seeds, right? And so when we go out, our mindset every day is, maybe I'll have a conversation about the gospel. Maybe I'll share the gospel with someone today. Or maybe I'll have a spiritual conversation with some, maybe. But I don't want to get too crazy with this whole seed planting thing, right? Some of us walk out with the seed mindset of, today I'm going to be busy planting seeds, and I've got a big bag of seed to throw out today. Now, we looked at this principle last week. We won't go too far into it today, but listen, that which you reap, you what? Sow. That was a principle that we looked at. So if you sow a little, how much are you going to reap? A little. If you sow a lot, how much are you going to reap? A lot. So when it comes to sowing the seed of the gospel, we have to ask ourselves, what sort of bag are we carrying? A little or a lot? When I wake up in the morning and I go about my life, am I ready to sow lots of seeds? And I will just tell you, the people that I know that sow a lot of seed, they have what's called a kingdom mentality. That everything that I'm going to do today, every path that I walk down, every person that comes around me, I've got this kingdom mentality of sowing seeds. In fact, I when I was in high school, there was a young man. He was a year younger than me, a grade younger than me. And it was almost annoying to some level. And quite frankly, I wasn't walking as closely with the Lord then as I am now. But every conversation that Joey had was about the gospel and about the kingdom of God. Even with people who didn't want to hear about it. Like we were on the baseball team together. And he would come out every week and share with people. And he was, by the way, the most attractive Christian as far as people coming to know Jesus that I've ever met. He was relentless. I would just tell you, this huge bag here would not even resemble the kind of bag of seed that he carried with him. It was on a regular basis, and I admired that so much about him, and you probably know some people like that. Well, I would just encourage you this morning, one of the calls is to throw out a lot of seed. Be seed planters. Listen, Jesus called us to it. Matthew 28:19, this is what he says to his disciples. These are some of his parting words. He says, go therefore and make disciples of how many? All nations. This is what I want you to do. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Go. Go out. In other words, what he's saying is carry a big bag of seed with you wherever you go and be ready to share the gospel. Be ready to speak truth into someone's life. Live a life that represents me well when you go out. Plant those seeds and plant a lot of them. Last week, you remember this, you maybe heard about this, the Harvest Crusade took place. This is, by the way, a seed planting opportunity, right? And some of you have taken advantage of that. You took your friends to the Harvest Crusade. Or maybe, just out of curiosity, by the way, how many of you have had your lives changed at a Harvest Crusade, or you knew someone who had their lives changed at a Harvest Crusade? Yeah, I mean, that's what this is. This is seed planting. And it started back in the 90s at the Pacific Amphitheater. And then moved to Anaheim Stadium. I think next year they're saying they're going to go to SoFi, right? The mentality of all of this is seed planting. It's getting the gospel out. Look how many people, by the way. 40,000 people showed up in person at Anaheim Stadium. 200,000 people watched online. Can I just tell you, that's a big bag of seed, right? That the whole purpose is just to preach the gospel simply and to see what the Lord does through that. Look at 6,000 people responded to the gospel. 6,000 people. That's incredible. All because someone says, listen, let's plant seeds. Let's get the word out there. And so observation number one is that if we're farmers called to plant seed, the question then becomes, how much seed are we planting? And do we have a kingdom mindset like my friend Joey in high school who said, listen, each and every day I'm going out with the mentality of I've got this big bag of seed and I'm going to plant it somewhere, anywhere, wherever God calls me. The second observation I have for you this morning based on this text is God is actually the one who makes it grow. God makes it grow. Take a look at verse 27. What does the farmer do in the planting of the seed? What? He plants it, and then what does he do? Look at verse 27. Sleeps by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself, what? Does not know how. It's almost like he's surprised, right? I planted the seed and I went to bed, I rose, I went to bed, I rose, and a number of days later, what? It's growing. I don't know how that happens. In the context of sharing the gospel, the point is God will make it grow. God will make that seed of faith that you have planted in someone else grow. You and I are not in the growing business. We're in the planting business. That you and I actually don't have the power to make it, that seed of faith grow in someone else. God is the only one who can make that seed grow. And quite frankly, that's reassuring to me, right? That think about it, the words that I say isn't what brings someone to Jesus. That somehow I have to craft this well-spoken gospel message in order to get someone to believe in Jesus. I don't have to do that. I have to be faithful to plant the seed, but ultimately God is the one who does the spiritual transaction that brings someone from death to life. And ultimately, if that person's going to stay walking with Christ, it's because God transitioned their soul from death to life, from darkness to light. That regeneration and transformation aren't my business. In fact, that's God's business. That's what God does. If that person enters into eternity forever and ever and ever, that would be because God did his work. It was us who were faithful to plant the seeds, but God who gets the glory for that person coming to know and walk with him. And for me, that is so encouraging, so strengthening. God, and some of you experienced it before with a coworker. You're like, God, I've been preaching the gospel, I've been preaching the gospel, but they don't ever listen to me. I've been to my son or to my daughter, I've been preaching the gospel, I've been preaching, but they're just not listening. And God would just say, keep being faithful. Keep being faithful and planting the seeds. And trust me, I will do the growth. I will do the kingdom work. Not that this, by the way, is like I have no idea how it happens, right? The scripture is pretty clear how someone comes from death to life. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit interaction with our souls that changes us. In fact, that's why most every Sunday morning or Saturday night, whenever I'm teaching, I will ask, Lord, you do the work. Holy Spirit, you do the work. That's the lasting work. That's the eternal work. Lord, you are the one that needs to come and infiltrate our hearts and make that transformation within us. The Holy Spirit does it. When you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit more than likely has already been at work on that person's heart, softening the soil, right? Ready to receive the gospel. The Holy Spirit has already been at work, and he's the one that ultimately gets the glory. Look where it says this in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them. Now, them, in this particular case, is wisdom about salvation. The knowledge of salvation. That's what them represents here. So, but God has revealed kind of the knowledge of salvation to us. How? Y'all need to help me with this one. How? Through his Spirit. That's how we came to know and understand what salvation was. Praise God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Well, wouldn't it be nice? Lord, I would just think it'd be so nice if you would just give us your Spirit so that we'd know the things of you. Answered, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of what? God. The Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is how, it's not a complete mystery to us, this is how God uses his Holy Spirit in us for salvation. We understand the things of him. In fact, look at what Paul says. Who then is Paul? As they were arguing over, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. They were seed planters. As the Lord gave to each one. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but look it, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, they're just seed planters, they're just farmers, but here's who is something, but God who gives the increase. He's the one that causes growth. Observation number two. We bank on God to give us the growth. We plant the seeds, God gives the growth. Observation number three. I don't think then we plant the seed and forget all about it and walk away from the field. I think we tend to the field. Observation number three, I think God calls us then to tend to the field, to care about those that we have planted the seed with. Again, super clear on this. God is the one who will make that seed grow, not you and I. But I do believe, like a good shepherd would watch after the sheep, a good farmer will tend to their fields and to the crops. And using a brief analogy from last week and the week before, from the beginning of Mark chapter 4, you remember the ground where the seed landed? Do you remember those? The soil? What was that first one that he talked about? The path. And what came and took those seeds out the path? Do you remember? The birds. And what did the bird represent? The enemy or Satan coming and taking the seeds away. And I think as good farmers who care about the crops, who care about the seeds, who care about the people in our homes, who care about the people in our church, we need to be good farmers who tend to the fields. And if that means at times identifying the enemy who's making inroads into our home and into our fields, we need to shoo away that enemy, away from our little crop, our little seeds that are trying to grow. And so we need to be tending to the field. What is the second one? You remember this one? Stony ground. And what happened to that little seed? It tried to grow. That little seed tried to grow, right? And it couldn't. It dried out. And in fact, as good farmers who tend to our homes and to our churches, we need to make sure that we get rid of those stones. We rid them off. And we need to make fertile ground. So we teach the Word of God by the Spirit of God. And we make sure those hearts are ready to receive Him. What was the other one? The thorny ground. You remember what that was? What did the thorny ground do to the little seed? Right? Choked it out. And what did Jesus equate that to? The world, right? The cares and the worries of the world coming in. And can I get an amen? That happens? That the cares and the worries of the world will sometimes come into our lives and try to choke out the faith and the trust that we have in the Lord. And so as good farmers, as good moms and dads, husbands and wives within our home, as good co-workers, as good people who come to church, Lord, we need to be identifying, hey, that's a worry of the world. And we need to pluck those things out. We need to identify them as we tend to the fields, as we trust in the Lord. Again, observation number three, I believe, like Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. We're nothing, we're seed planters. But also we need to be people who tend to the fields, who say, Lord, you will give the increase, but ultimately we don't want to throw and go. We want to throw and care and tend to the fields. Observation number four. You may not see growth, but don't give up. You may not see growth, but don't give up. When that farmer goes out and throws out the seed, where does the seed go? Down into the ground. And he doesn't oftentimes get to see that initial growth that's taking place. He doesn't get to see every phase of the growth of that little plant. And the same is true with you and I. Oftentimes, we'll throw out the seed, but we're not always sure if it's growing. We don't always know that it took. In those conversations that we have with our kids, as I have young kids in my home, high school, junior high, grade school, and we're having these conversations, and we've definitely planted a lot of seed, and I don't always know what's going to happen with that seed. I pray that God does something with it. You've had conversations with your kids or your coworkers, and you haven't always seen the results right away of God. Is it growing? Is there anything there at all? And oftentimes, I would say that we don't always get to see that growth, but God is still at work. Here's the incredible reality. God cares about those people, coworkers, family, kids, even more than you do. In fact, He's on your team. We are on the same page. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That in fact, He cares about those people that you care about even more than you care about them, and desires for them to grow in Him. So sometimes I would just say we get impatient. I get impatient. And Lord, I want to see growth in this area. God, I want them to come to know You. And God's like, I know, Jeff. Me too. I'm at work. I'm working on them. Isn't it awesome to know too that yours is not the only spiritual conversation that they could have in a day? That I think sometimes maybe as parents, maybe as grandparents, coworkers, we think we're the only light in their life. They're living in darkness. There's so much darkness. And yet God is totally capable of sending other people to speak truth and light and plant seeds in their lives. And so we pray for God, will You raise up other people to plant seeds in their life? God cares about them even more than you and I do. Amazing story. Yesterday in our leaders breakfast, we have a ministry leaders meeting every quarter. We do breakfast together, and we were sharing stories like we like to do. It's just in time of encouragement and breakfast and kind of direction of church type things. And so we had all these people together and we were kind of sharing the stories. And one of the stories that we got to hear was from our Spanish ministry. And the Spanish ministry said, hey, we had this family come last week, and the dad, the father, gave his life to the Lord, which was like, that's awesome, cool. He's like, but actually, they came because there was a team from Refuge out doing street evangelism in downtown Huntington Beach on the pier. And the guy who does street evangelism here and that whole team had no idea that that team had come to Refuge. And there was this idea of like, wow, like we planted seeds. They go out all the time to do street evangelism. We're always planting seeds. We don't always get to hear that someone came to the Lord or that they went to their local church and they came to know the Lord. And just think about that. We're planting all these seeds, but we don't always get to know. And then in the moment where we get to hear the story of them coming here to Refuge and giving their life to the Lord, there was just this great celebration of like, that is so cool that God did that. Even outside of what we would have orchestrated and how we would have done it, God just shows up in this major way. And I believe He's doing that in the people that you love, in your coworkers. He's at work even beyond your means and your strategy and your ideas. And I'm so thankful that God does not take time off. Amen? Even when the farmer sleeps at night in the parable, he's sleeping at night, God is still at work causing that little seed to grow. Even when the seed does not have the attention of the farmer, God is still saying, I can make that seed grow apart from you. Listen, that's what He's doing. He's at work, and I'm so thankful that He works in ways that we don't always understand. And I would just encourage you, keep praying, keep having patience for those people. The seed maybe is growing, you just don't see it, and God is going to do something powerful. I mean, you love when you see those people again, right? And God has done this amazing work, and you thought, I would never have thought those people would come to know Jesus, right? They were not the first people I would think of on my list. But some years later, as I hear the story and the testimony, I see what's going on. God, you're great. You're amazing. Incredible. Observation number 5, right? Right, note takers? We're on 5. That's good news, right? 5. The 5th is this. Celebrate new life. When you see it, when you see someone give their life to the Lord and life change begins to happen, we as the church and you individually need to celebrate that. We need to say, yes, Lord, you are so good. Look at verse 29. But when the grain ripens, immediately he, that's the farmer, puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is a miraculous moment. We cannot diminish this moment when someone gives their life to the Lord. We celebrate it. We lift it up. It wasn't by, listen, well-crafted words. It was not by a good presentation. In fact, when you go to, I don't want to take anything away from Greg Laurie, but when you go to the Harvest Crusade, his objective isn't to come this huge Bible study that's going to wow and impress you, right? It's what? Give the gospel simply with application. It's almost like, I'm going to turn this loose, Lord, and you take it and you do something with it. Less of me and more of you, right? And that's the same thing we do when we give the gospel, even if it's not with eloquent words or deep roots, right? Instead, we just say, God, work. God, you do the work. And when it happens, we will celebrate. In fact, this picture right here is from Huntington Beach. This last summer, we went down to the beach. We do our bonfire. And one of those bonfires, we do a beach baptism, which can get rough, but it's fun. And you will hear us celebrating and yelling and screaming. And people are like, what are they doing? They're weird, right? But we don't care, right? We've become undignified for this, right? It's an awesome celebration because we know, because we've heard their testimonies of what God has done in their life to bring them to this point. Lots of people planting seeds, right? And the Holy Spirit at work because God causes the growth to happen. And in this moment, we know a miracle has happened. Somebody's gone from death to life, from darkness to light. And we celebrate and we scream. And we do that here when we do the baptisms up here. And we worship and we sing and we hear their testimonies. And then y'all like to yell, right? Because it's a big deal. And it's worthy of celebration. In fact, when Jesus talks about the harvest, here's what he says. John 4:35. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they all are already white for harvest. In other words, it's ready. And you look at the world today, there are people out there who are hurting and broken and lost, and they need seed planters to come plant those seeds, and the Spirit gets it active in their lives. And then they come and we celebrate God's transition from death to life in their lives. Here again, Matthew 9:37. Then he said to his disciples, that would be us, by the way, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. He's caused the growth, and now he says, go out, and Lord, people are ready to do to walk with him, to see him, to give their lives to him. Listen, that prayer was answered. Look around you, right? We're a bunch of farmers with seed bags and the ability to tend to fields. And he says, listen, be active. Go out with a big bag of seed. Let's recap and let's move on to our second parable. Number one, what are we going to do, note takers, if you're there? Throw out lots of seed, right? Not this little tiny bag of seed. We're not doing one seed ministry, right? We want lots of seed with a big bag, and how we live our lives and what gospel we share matters. Plant those seeds. What's the second one, note takers? God is the one that makes it grow. Thank you, Lord. That is so good. Such good news. That I'm just to plant seed and you will give the increase. You will cause it to grow. Third, tend to the fields. That we don't just throw the seed out and go, right? That actually we tend to the fields and we pull out those thorns. We shoo away the birds. Number four, don't give up. Sometimes you don't see it growing, but don't give up. Keep tending to that little seed. And number five, let's celebrate. When we see someone come to know the Lord, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate those moments where we're like, God, you were working that entire time. And when we hear testimonies up here, we're going to hoot and holler, right? Do people still say that? Hoot and holler? That's archaic. We celebrate, we just yell, we get excited. Look at the second parable again regarding the seed. Look at verse 30. Then he, Jesus, said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable should we picture it?" And I can kind of see Jesus looking around like, what could I use? What could I use? Oh, look at verse 31. Ah, it's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. What is Jesus saying here? In fact, by the way, Jesus uses a mustard seed in another place too. He says, if you have the faith of even just this small little mustard seed, what could you do? What could you move? You could move mountains. You could do all things, is what Jesus says. Even if you have the faith of this small, insignificant little mustard seed. The same principle, similar principle, is he saying here. He's saying, listen, this seed, it looks so tiny and so small, but y'all know that this mustard seed can get very large. In fact, some say 10 to 16 feet high, 6 feet wide. It can be very big. To then what's the question would be, how in the world does that happen? Much like the farmer, right, planted the seed and goes back to bed, wakes up, goes back to bed, wakes up, and comes out and like, I don't even know how this happens, right? Similar to this, someone would say, how does all of that tree come from this little, tiny, insignificant seed? And Jesus's point is the kingdom of God is like this little seed, which at this point, and especially as Jesus is preaching, this kingdom seems very small. Like, are you sure, Jesus? Right? It seems like it's very small. In fact, if you think about it, Jesus comes from this town of Nazareth, to which someone once said, what good can come from Nazareth? Right? This Messiah, this Christ, this King, he's from Nazareth? That doesn't make any sense. And then he assembles this bunch of kind of ragtag bunch of guys that don't seem to mesh together well, and this kingdom's going to come and be presented by these guys. And if you're a disciple at the time, you may be thinking, like, I see Judaism, this massive religion with this big temple, right? And I see the Roman Empire with its might and its strength. And Jesus, you keep talking about the kingdom of God, but you're from Nazareth. And we're nobodies. Where is this kingdom kind of come from? And what his point is, small, insignificant, little seed, but when it's fully grown, it is like massive. And Jesus is saying that same exact thing about the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed. It's going to grow, and it's going to keep growing and growing and growing. In fact, imagine if you were Peter and you were able to come back and just spend a day at Refuge. And maybe he would come up here and look at you all, right? And he would think to himself, holy cow, over 2,000 years, the gospel kept going and the kingdom of God kept growing. And now you have all this technology and people watch online and it can go all over the world. What? That's massive. We never thought that would ever happen. And the church has grown to every continent, every place on the earth. That's an incredible thing. You mean the gospel of Jesus Christ has gotten that big? Imagine if you're just Peter and taking that all in. And I would encourage you with this, that it's just starting. In some ways, the kingdom has grown, and it really has. But it's even bigger than we could ever hope or imagine. It's still mustard seed in our minds, in our human minds. But there's a day when the kingdom of God breaks forth, right? And we will take all of his glory and his wonder in. And that will be an incredible moment. And we will look back like Peter would look back on that first century church and think, oh, I thought it was big then, but man, it's massive now. Don't despise small things. Don't despise the day of small things. That even though it may seem small now, and maybe as you look at your coworkers and the seeds of faith that you've planted, it may seem small in their lives, but God is going to do mighty things through those seeds. One last little thing and then we'll close. He mentions the birds of the air, the birds of the air that come and nest in the mustard tree. Now, there's different views on what this is. Some people say not anything at all. Those birds don't represent anything. Really, it's just to demonstrate how big the tree is, right? That it's so big that from this little tiny mustard seed that birds can even come and nest in its branches. Another would say that the birds represent the enemy coming and infiltrating the kingdom of God. And that would be because in Matthew chapter 4, remember when we talked about the field, the soils, and there were birds and the enemy that came in, Satan that came in and snatched away the seeds. So they would say, listen, that the birds are he's just using the same analogy, the same picture of birds. And this is people who would come in to the church and infiltrate it. And the one that I kind of lean towards, and whether you do or not, that's completely fine. No offense taken. But the other one I would lean towards is that these are people that have come from outside of Judaism and have found the kingdom of God and are part now of the kingdom of God. I would get that from Ezekiel 17, and you can look at that, right, jot it down. And quite frankly, if you're one of those people who are like caring about those nuances, you'll probably write it down and look it later on. So I'll leave that with you, Ezekiel 17. And I don't want to argue with you over it. So if you think it is, that's great. Could be nothing. Could be the enemy. I'm okay with whatever you want to choose for that. Look at verse 33. And some of you are still going to come up afterwards. You're going to argue with me about it. Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Verse 33. You're like, I can't wait to show you the five passages where you're wrong. Well, okay. Fair enough. Verse 33. And I love you, by the way, for that. And many, verse 33, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. This takes us back to this moment we talked about a little bit last week with the gift, that Jesus would often tell parables to the crowds, people who had come because he could cast out demons, people who had come and gathered because he could heal people. And then he would share this story, this kingdom principle, or a parable. And he would invite those people who really, truly wanted to know him to take a step of faith and say, tell me more, Jesus. He would draw them in with the story and the parable. And it says here that he would then explain it to them so that they would know more about who he truly is. And I think that's all of us desiring to know more about you, Lord. So we take that step of faith and say, okay, Lord, tell me more. I want to know more about being a seed planter and a light bearer. I want to know more about these things, and I want to grow in you. This week, as I put this message together, these words kept hitting me. Start it. Just start it. Just do it. Plant the seed. Jeff, just plant the seed. Just do it. And my human brain, my human mind keeps saying, but Lord, there's so many other things on the list. There's so many other things on my schedule. And I just got this sense, and maybe you would hear this morning of like, but just start it. Just start that ministry. Just do that thing. Plant the seed. Like, have the mentality not of the little tiny seed guy where you're like, oh, just one. But just go out and start throwing the seed in conversations. Start the work. Start the conversation. Whatever it would be that the Lord would speak to you, I would say, just start it and see what happens. Again, you're not responsible for the growth. God gets the glory. It's Him who is about the increase. Right? It's Him who will give the increase. You and I, we're seed planters and tend to the fields. But ultimately, Lord, He is the one that gets the glory for the growth. And this week, maybe, I would just think, maybe there's some of you who are thinking, yep, I've been supposed to start that for a while. The breathing room for moms, Bethany and I have had on our hearts for at least a year and a half, maybe two. And we keep thinking, this needs to happen. Refuge needs a group where moms can get together and just share about all the things that go into being a mom, especially with young ones, and a place where they can encourage each other and change each other. That's what that happened. And for us, it was like, you just got to start it. Like, well, Lord, what are we going to do? What do we give up? And we had to give up some things. But at the end of the day, Lord, it's just a trust in you that you're going to do something in that. And I don't know what it is for you. But just start it. Just start doing it. Move forward in faith and plant the seeds, whether it's a conversation or a work that he wants you to do. Step out and start doing it. And I thought about this. You individually doing it would be great. Just do it. But think corporately over an entire weekend. If people just obeyed the thought process of I need to plant more seeds in my life. If I'm honest, I just need to plant more seeds. I need to start those conversations more. When God calls me to do a certain work, I need to be faithful in doing that work. And imagine if Refuge just caught that. Imagine the impact and the power and the move of the Spirit and the stories that we would share with each other about people coming from downtown Huntington Beach, coming to Refuge and giving their life to the Lord. And we would share that and we'd celebrate together. Imagine what the Lord would use that for. And so here's how I want to close our service. Our worship team's going to come back out. And we're going to sing about God is our champion. And in that song, it talks about the when I speak, miracles happen. Right? When I speak, miracles happen. I have authority. Right? When walls fall down. That's what that song is. And it's not because, listen, it's not because we're good farmers or good seed planters. It has nothing actually to do with us at all. It has everything to do with, and the song says it, where our authority lies. It's in Jesus' name. And so what I'd love for us to do is close out with a declaration of praise to the Lord. In that, in faith, when we leave this place this morning and we leave with this big bag, knowing that we've got these seeds that are ready to be planted, that if something's going to happen, it's because of the authority that Jesus gives us, the power that we have in his name, the power over the enemy, the power over the world, and that in fact, he is going to do something great. Amen? We're ready. Hi. This is good, because I did not want to solo this song. It would sound so much different. It'll be better, yes. So let's pray. Lord, we give this to you, this time to you. And Lord, I pray, as people sat and listened, and Lord, your Spirit was at work, whatever it is that you called them to, whatever seed planting you called them to, may we be faithful to obey, faithful to listen, and faithful to step out in faith. Lord, and it's not for nothing. It's for this kingdom that is advancing on the face of the earth, that we get to join you in glory, Lord, that we get to join you in seeing lives radically changed. It's not for nothing. Lord, it's for the opportunity to celebrate a changed life. And so, Lord, as we sing this song to you, you are our weight, our authority. You are everything. Lord, you are our champion. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.